Praise the Lord. Everybody doing good tonight? Yes. Well, it's good to see you guys here tonight. I want to mention again, I haven't mentioned in a while, but I want to keep saying this, that there are five stages of being a believer. The first stage is being born again. The second stage is sitting under the Word, being taught the Word. And that's where most Christians stop. But there are three other stages you need to employ. The third stage is you need to be trained. Teaching is not training. When we go to the prisons, you get trained. When we go to the prisons, the Holy Ghost is able to train you. The fourth one is you need to be equipped. You don't know what your equipment is. You wouldn't send a soldier to battle with a rifle if he didn't know how to use it, would you? You wouldn't send in one that was picked up from a pawn shop, would you? No. So you need to be equipped, and then you need to be deployed. God's got a place for everybody in here. He's got a place for you to go and serve. You know, our vision at Dominion Training Center is not we would have a large number of people. That's not my vision at all. My vision is to have a solid foundation of people that know how to rightly divide the Word of God, to where their senses are trained to know good and evil. So, as I feel I'm being led by the Spirit of God, we're going to continue with this thing. We're going to continue with our limb called worship. If you have your Bibles, you can go over to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. When I first broke into worship, this became one of my favorite scriptures. Be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess. But be ye filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, and making melodies in your heart as unto the Lord. Amen. This is private worship. You need to meditate and assimilate this verse, these two verses. You need to get them in your heart. You need to speak to yourself all day long. And then you need to begin to start practicing them. You need to begin to start acting on these verses. The thing is that we don't really understand, we don't really recognize how much time we spend agonizing over our mistakes and over our problems when we should be worshiping in psalms and hymns. Now, the whole crux of the scripture is in verse 18, it says, be not drunk with wine. The reason Paul is saying that, he is saying the world's way of escaping its problem is through alcohol. Why do people drink? To be sociable? No. No. You drink to get a buzz. You drink to get a buzz. And when you get that buzz, you kind of begin to go, okay, I think I can kind of deal what's going on. But what God is saying in these scriptures is you don't have to be like the world. You don't have to be like the world. You can speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and sing melodies in your heart. You can get drunk being filled with the Spirit of God. Now, here is the difference. The guy that drinks, he inebriates his senses with alcohol. But the next day, he still got his problem with a headache. But the guy that sings psalms and hymns and makes melodies to the Lord, the next morning, God has spent the whole night working on his problem. Without the headache. Amen. So the thing is that we have a way in the world, so a way in the spirit to deal with these problems. And I realize some of the stuff that we're seeing and we're going through, they seem to be extreme. But God provided a way over 2,000 years ago. Sometimes we're going to see one principle tonight. He provided over probably 3,000 or 4,000 years ago. Because he knew the strain and stress that man would be under, okay? So as you begin to break into worship, one way to break into worship is begin to meditate and assimilate these verses and begin to act on these verses. Now, we're talking about the procedure, the steps. So these next several messages are going to be important because they're instructional. They're going to give you the nuts and bolts. We don't teach ABC. We teach nuts and bolts. We teach principles. We teach concepts. But there is no 12-step pattern to God. Are you hearing me? You know, I remember when I wanted to exercise my faith, I went and got a book called The ABCs of Faith. How many of you read that book? It's a good book by John Osteen. It's a good book. But I didn't know that. I came away from reading that book. I think I knew less about faith before I read the book, because it just confused me. Because I thought faith was a method, but faith is not a method. The Bible says that faith works by love. If you got faith, you got to have some love. If you don't have any love, you ain't got no faith. Yeah. I know a lot of people think they're in faith, and they act just like the devil. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching real good. But as you begin to continue in the worship, at least I know when I did, there is a resistance that will initially come to your mind. You'll want to go into that closet, and you'll want to shut that door, and you'll want to begin to worship God, and your mind will go 1,000 miles an hour. It seems like every problem that you encounter that day will come flooding in on the scene as you attempt to give God praise and attempt to give God glory. Every long-term challenge, every prayer that you've been believing God for. You know, there are things that I believed God for 2 years before they came to pass. People think that that's not normal. It is normal. A lot of times there's some things that God's not ready to give you. How many of you would give the keys to your car to a 2-year-old? He ain't going to do anything to put them in his mouth. Can't use them. So the thing is, there's the promises of God are yes and amen. But God wants you to be mature. But again, some of the long-term challenges that you've been fighting against will completely begin to occupy your mind. There may be a sickness in your body. And when you go into worship, you'll be like, all you can think about is, if I'm worshiping God, why do I have this problem? Why am I going through this turmoil, God, if you love me? Come on now. You know you've been there. I've been there. So let's address this issue. Let's just hit it head on. Because, see, I'm a teacher. And what I want to do is make it so plain that you'll be able to leave this place tonight. And when you enter into worship, you got something. You got a tool to shut your mind down. You'll shut it down. I say it'll shut it down. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. It'll shut the thing down. Go over to Romans chapter 8, verse 7 first. Now, Devin, I may not have given you this one, so don't worry about it. But if you have your Bibles, go over to Romans chapter 8, verse 7, and let me first describe the problem. The Bible says here, the carnal mind. The carnal mind. The reason why it's called the carnal mind is because all it does is thinks on what it sees, what it hears, what it can touch, what it can feel, what it senses. It is not moved by faith. It's a carnal mind. It's moved by your senses. I don't have enough money in the bank. I have a pain in my body. Nobody loves me. Those are senses. You know, that's a carnal Christian. And let me say it like this. It's your flesh. That's your flesh. But it says the carnal mind is an enmity. That means this mind can never be reconciled back to God. Never. It says it is an enmity against God. Now get the second half of this. For it is not subject to the law of God. What is the law of God? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul. How do I know I'm keeping the first part of that? If I'm loving the Lord thy God with all of my heart and with all of my soul, I'll do the second part. I'll love my neighbor. Amen. If you're not loving your neighbor and you think you got the love of God in you, you got a heavy dose of religion, but you don't have the love of God. Come on, let's get real with this thing. Okay? So the natural mind, the carnal mind, the mind that's not renewed, it is an enemy against God. That's what fights you when you go into that prayer closet. We're going to get to a scripture here in Matthew chapter 8, and it talks about hypocrites. Mm-hmm. Hypocrites. Well, listen, hypocrites don't go in the prayer closets. Hypocrites don't go in the prayer closets. You know why? Because the hypocrite's got to be seen. He's got to be seen. If he's not seen, he has no show to put on. Don't shout me down now. So when you go into that prayer closet, and I'm setting you up now, because when you go into that worship closet, what happens is you got to take off the mask. And that's why a lot of people won't break into worship. This is why I couldn't break into it initially until I began to understand. But if I had somebody to teach this, like we're going to teach in these next several weeks, I would have picked up on it a whole lot sooner. But I thought it was just so far away because I couldn't quiet my mind down. Now go over to Isaiah 28. If you know anything about Elvin Craig, you know this is probably one of my favorite scriptures. Isaiah 28, verses 9 through 11. You know, I was praying a while ago, and the Lord said, son, in 2002, you set on your journey, and you began to pray in the Spirit. You began to pray an hour every day. And everybody around you thought you were nuts. They thought you were a fanatic. And they said, son, they said, let him alone. He'll quiet down after several months because it'll pass. But ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know something. It's been 16 years, going on 17 years, and I ain't quit shandying yet. Come on, somebody. I ain't stopped yet, and I'm not going to stop. The phase didn't pass me by. It's part of who I am. Come on. This is me. This is me. Isaiah 28, verses 9 through 11. For with stammering lips and with another tongue will I speak to this people, to whom he said, and this is where I'm going, this is the rest wherewith ye shall cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. There are many people that want refreshing. There are many people, what? Isaiah 28, 9 through 11. Oh, well, okay, verse 11 then, excuse me. Yeah, okay, I started with 11, you're right. So Isaiah 28, 11, it's okay to be corrected in church. I'm good with that. No shame in my game. But with stammering lips, that's praying in tongues, and with another tongue will he speak to this people. One of the best ways I have learned to quiet my mind is to begin to pray in tongues before I go into that worship closet. So that's why I'll begin to worship God, but I may pray in tongues. Sometimes I'll pray 15 minutes up here. Sometimes I'll pray 45 minutes. Sometimes I'll pray the entire hour. Well, guess what I'm doing? I'm shutting my mind down. I'm bringing it to a halt. I'm exercising my faith. I'm exercising my rest. The Bible says in Hebrew, labor to enter into that rest. Well, how do you labor to enter into rest? How many ever work before you go to bed? How many of you work to sleep? Kind of an oxymoron, is it not? How do you work to sleep? Well, the way you enter into your rest is this. Shebro nakrashta. Shandala kabreto menorete. Now, I got to be careful sometimes because when I start praying that way, I'll fall asleep. So I have to, and sometimes I purposely pray in tongues to go to sleep. Because why? I want to enter into that rest. What is that rest? It means I don't have nothing on my mind but God. I have the things of God on my mind. And I am able to allow my mind to rest. So he says, labor to enter into that rest. Isaiah prophesied that there would come a time when he, God, would speak and teach to his people directly. And he said the way he would speak, the way he spoke to the Old Testament saints was how? Through a priest, a prophet, or a king. Now get this, God really never wanted to speak to his people through a priest, prophet, or king. He wanted to speak to them one-on-one, but they couldn't handle him because he had so much power. He was knocking folk out, burning stuff up. I mean, when he sat down on, I think it was Mount Orem or wherever that mount, somewhere over there, man. I mean, he began to have fire and smoke and everything. They were like, oh no, Moses, we don't want to talk to him. God wanted to speak with them personally. Well, today God wants to speak to us personally. There was a day when God would put his laws in their hearts. Hebrew 4:10 says this, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws in their minds, write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." That is the time we're in right now. God has moved out of the temple made of stone, and he has moved into a temple made by Jesus. Now, I can never pass up this message, so I'm going to take a real veer here. Those of you have seen me here for, been here for a while, maybe several years, you've heard me preach this message. And it's called In the Quarry. And it comes from, do y'all remember it? It comes from 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 7. It's when they built the first temple. Now, when they built the first temple, the temple was built on one site. It was constructed on one site. But the stones that built that temple were not carved at that site. Oh, there's a type of shadow here. So they got those stones from a place called the quarry. All right? And they would come over here and they'd get the dimensions that God had given them, that God had given Moses, and or whoever was in charge at that time. It wasn't Moses. But anyway, they go back over here to the quarry and they begin to chip, 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 knock this rock and make it into the exact size that would fit in that temple. The Bible says this. It says that, did I give you 1 Kings chapter 6? Can somebody go over there real quick and give it to me in the King James? 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 7. This is very important. Hold on. Now, made ready before it was what? Okay, so what he's saying is the stone was cut over here and it was carried over here to the site. Go ahead. So in other words, there was no chipping, there were no hammer noises, there was no ding, ding, chip, chip. None of that happened at the temple. It happened at the quarry. Now, do you know what that's a type and shadow of? Oh, I get excited about this. Do you know what that's a type and shadow of? It is a type and shadow of you praying in the spirit in your prayer closet. The Bible says we have been fitly, jointly put together. And the thing is this, you shouldn't come to a church or the ecclesia, the called out church of the living God, and go, "I want to be in that position." Oh, no, 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 baby. No, you first go over to the quarry. You first come over to the quarry, and you allow the Holy Ghost. Why you seto me creno, shana macabrana. See, you want to know why you get bored praying in tongues? You know why you get tired of praying in tongues? Because when you're over here in the quarry, the Holy Ghost is going, "Chip, you got, I see some anger there. Chip, oh, it hurt, Jesus. Oh, it hurts." So you come over and you try to fit in, and you don't fit in. And they send you back to the quarry. Oh, come on, somebody. The Holy Ghost, he's shaping you, so when you come and you join your place in the body, a place you didn't choose. In other words, you don't come over here to the quarry and say, "Excuse me, I'd like to be the cornerstone." Oh, no, 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 no. "Excuse me, I want to be one of them apostles. I want to be a pastor. Shape me like..." Oh, no, 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 no. You get shaped what he wants to, the way he wants to shape you. So when he picks you up and he puts you in the ecclesia, you fit. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. See, that's why we have so much nonsense in the body of Christ, because people, they want to bypass the quarry. And they want to go straight to the temple. No, 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 no. This temple is made without hands. This temple is made without any chiseling or any sound of a hammer on the site. This temple, the stones, the living stones, they are made over here in the quarry. Woo! That is a type and shadow of who you are. So you want to know why you struggle so much with that prayer closet? Because the Holy Ghost got you in it going, chip, chip, chip. And he, because you know why? You can't tell him. You might say, well, can you leave that alone? Nope. That's coming off too. Mm-hmm. Now, one day I'm going to preach that whole message. I'm going to have y'all run out of here going, shut the meeting down, Pastor. We want to pray in tongues for a while. All right now. Okay. So this temple now is made of flesh, and now the Father deals with us one on a one-on-one basis. When you are born again, the Holy Ghost, he moved in, and he brought a language with him that you could use to edify you, to chip you, to mold you, to shape you while you're in the quarry. He brought that language with him. And as long you can pray in that language, as long as you want to, just because you want to, whenever you want to, there's no limitations. Every time you open up your mouth and you begin to pray in the Spirit, the Holy Ghost goes, uh-oh, let me get my chisel out. Let me get the holy hammer out. Come on over here. I got some stuff to knock off here. I saw what you said while I go over there at the supermarket. I saw how you acted in the parking lot. Come on, come on, come on. Let me do some chipping over here. But see, most people don't want to go to the quarry. They want to go straight and they want to fit in the body of Christ and go, I want to be this, I want to be that. You can't. No, not in God's camp. You can't do that. Amen. So the thing is this, he brought the language with him so that we could be edified, so that we could do as much as we want to, however we want, as long as we want. This language was used, when used consistently and constantly, will bring the rest to the children of God. Now let's talk about this rest. Go over to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. And I think I spoke about this one time about why was the Sabbath such a big thing? Now, remember, where we're going is we're talking about private worship and entering into private worship. Mm-hmm. And the first thing you want to do is shut your mind down. Mm-hmm. You want your mind to be at rest. Mm-hmm. You want your spirit to be in ascendancy. Mm-hmm. You don't want your mind to be telling you what to do as it has in the past. Mm-hmm. You want to start telling your mind. You want to start telling your spirit wants to tell your mind to shut up, mm-hmm. especially your carnal mind. Romans, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 says, I'll read verse 8. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not have afterward have spoken of another day? Mm-hmm. Verse 9, there remains therefore a rest. Now, most Christians don't understand what the rest is. You know how I know you don't rest? You have anxiety. You have apprehension. You've got depression, you've got fear, you've got torment, you've got anger, you've got all of these things going on, which means you haven't entered into your rest. There would not be any divorces if the church learned how to enter into its rest. There wouldn't be any counseling sessions needed if the church could learn how to enter into its rest. Even when you just get laid off, you can enter into your rest. Even when a doctor gives you bad news, you can enter into your rest. Even when the doctor tells you, the banker tells you, I can't finance your brand new house, you can enter into your rest. Now, for some people, I'm talking way over your head right now. And you know why? Because remember, the natural mind is an enmity against God. Get out of your natural mind, and let's get into the mind of the Spirit. Let's call for the mind of Christ to come forward in you, in Jesus' name. So, there remains a rest, a Sabbath, for God's people even today. When we receive his nature, that is being born again, the Sabbath, Jesus moved in as well. Jesus is the Sabbath. Amen. The Sabbath was the type and shadow of Jesus. The Sabbath is in you, which means this. This is why they couldn't, if they saw someone picking up sticks on the Sabbath day, what would they do to that person? They'd stone him. Why would they do that? Because the Sabbath represented your new birth. And if you could pick up sticks, it would deduce your new birth to works. Now you can earn your new birth. And honey, you can't do enough to earn your new birth. It cannot be earned. It's given to you by grace. The Bible says by grace are you saved. Through faith. It is what? It is a gift of God. So it's by grace, and it's a gift of God. It's something that's given to you. It's something that you can't earn. That's why the Sabbath, when Jesus moved in, guess what he moves in with? He moves in with that rest. He brings that rest with him, and it's very similar to the rest of God that God entered into on the seventh day of creation. That's what all that. Those are all types and shadows. And all God is saying is there's a rest, born again, child of God, where you rest and know I've got your back. What you do you remember the song that was just sung? He's a way maker. He makes a way when there seems to be no way. He makes a narrow way. He makes a way in the middle of a desert. He's a way maker. He's a promise keeper. There's not one word that he has said that will not come to pass. He's a miracle worker. He's a miracle worker. He's working miracles even today. That's the rest you got to enter into. You got to rest in the fact that he's a way maker. Well, Pastor Craig, I don't know how I'm going to pay my light bill. He's a way maker. Enter into your rest. Pastor Craig, looks like they're going to deport me next week. He's a way maker. Enter into your rest. Pastor Craig, there's a hurricane coming. He's a way maker. Enter into your rest. Come on. He's a way maker. Enter into your rest. How do you enter into your rest? You got to get your mind to quiet down. And how do you do that? Jambre no Cristo. Shotare no Krasta. Now, you just can't do that when you come to a meeting like this. You got what you see me doing up here on Thursday afternoon. I've done this morning. I've done yesterday, the day before yesterday. I may have missed one day in there. I'm not saying I'm perfect with it. But my point is, I spend time in the closet. Because you know why? I still got some stuff he's chipping off of me. So I go in that closet myself. I get in that court myself, and I said, "What you show me what you got." He goes, "This is this." I go, "Are you certain?" He'll say, "Well, go ask your wife." I go, "Never mind. Get the chipping. Just get the chipping. We ain't going to have to ask her anything. It's all good. We know. Yeah, we know." Sometimes I just tell God, I say, "God, you don't play fair, man. You don't play fair, man. You hit me right below the belt. I mean, come on, God. Come on now." But that's okay. He's a good God. See, we can activate the rest whereby we may cause dreary the rest and also obtain that refreshing. When you begin to break into private worship and spend whatever time it takes praying in tongues to bring this rest forward in your mind, God will begin to turn your emotions. See, your emotions, we're going to get to this in a minute, but your emotions that you have now, those aren't the ones that God gave you. Those are the ones the world gave you. Come on, somebody. You can't tell me jealousy is an emotion that God gave you. There's more jealousy in the body of Christ than you can stand. Why? Everybody's envious. Well, how come he gets to sing the lead song today? How come he gets to open up in prayer? How come I never get to do it? Get over in that prayer, get over in that quarry, and he'll knock that stuff off of you. He'll knock it off of you. Now, the thing is this. You can't get over there and he get the chipping and you get to going, ow, and try to run back to the church because he doesn't let that happen. So what you going to do? You got to run back out into the world. Well, he doesn't chase you out there. You just go out there because you don't want to be changed. See, what he's bringing in you is worthwhile, and it's for your benefit, not for his. But this rest will cause your mind to settle down and become a receiver of revelation knowledge, of wisdom, the mysteries of God, and receiving from God. The reason most people don't receive from God, because they have no rest. You begin to ask God for something, you believe that Mark 11:23, you've prayed and you believe and you said, I've received. Okay, we believe you received. But come 2 weeks later, you're going, Pastor, uncle, I ain't got it yet. I thought you received the last time we prayed. Well, I did. So why are you telling me now you ain't got it yet? Well, I just ain't seen it materialize. Honey, he didn't say when you believe it materialized. He said to believe it when you pray. Amen. You believe when you pray. Amen. Many here tonight have reached the point of their walk with him where they have read the Bible and prayed in tongues all at the same time. Man, there are times when I can just open my Bible and I can start reading scripture and I can read the whole book of Matthew, praying in other tongues. I used to meditate to simulate the book of James, praying in tongues. One time there was a book that came out many years ago called The Shack. And they said, man, careful now, The Shack is. I said, you got to be careful with The Shack now. So I said, well, give me the book. I read that book and prayed in tongues in every page. Now, I could see what the problem was. I see the error in the movie. But it was just one man's attempt trying to make God real. And in doing that, again, the natural mind is an enmity toward God. So the fellow who wrote that book, he meant right. But when you try to compare God to a big old black woman, that just don't fly. It just don't fly. Now, and that's not a prejudicial statement. It's just that, in other words, you can't humanize. You can't bring God down to a human level. He's way past that. Way past that. Way past that. And so, ladies and gentlemen, be careful with this humanism. There are a lot of messages that are chalked with humanism. And that humanism, it reaches out and grabs that carnal mind. And you go, wow, that sounds good. But it's humanism. It has no power in it at all. And at the end of the day, it'll leave you just worthless. And you'll wonder why your faith doesn't work. Okay, let me go on here. When you understand what it means to enter into your rest, you'll no longer struggle with quieting down your mind. Because you'll begin to enter into that rest and your mind will begin to cooperate with your spirit. The rest is similar to waking up in the morning with a clear mind and free of worries. How many have woke up in the morning, or let's say the day before you had this big problem, and you thought about it and you thought about it and you thought about it and you just could not find the solution? And so you got so wore out, man, you just said, I'm going to bed. I don't know what I'm going to do. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Never go to bed with fear. Never. The devil will use that. The devil will use that fear against you. This is why a lot of people die in their sleep. Do not go to bed with fear, ladies and gentlemen. You get up in them, you get out of your bed and you said, fear, I command you to go. And when you do that, you'll see fear will begin to cower down, because the fear has no power behind it. It has no power behind it. None. Now, it doesn't mean the problem isn't real, but the fear behind the problem will go. Amen. Speak to it. Get up and say, we're not going to bed together tonight. You ain't sleeping in this bed. In fact, you ain't sleeping on this roof. You have got to go and run him off. And when you go back to bed and that thing tries to creep back in, get back up and said, I said, get. You are not sleeping here tonight. You're not staying over here. You can go next door. You can go across the street. You can go to Robert's house. You can go to Miss Vivian's house. You can go to whoever's house. But you ain't sleeping here tonight. They may welcome you in, but I ain't welcoming you in. So you got to get them talk to that. Amen? Amen. But again, you wake up in the morning. Your mind is clear. And all of a sudden, the answer comes. If you'll learn how to worship, you can get that anytime you want to. Anytime you want to. Anytime you want to. It is the job of the Holy Spirit. It's his job to bring you into this rest. Here's how. If you'll spend the time fellowshipping with him, that is, by praying in other tongues, he will show you how to enter into that rest. Now, let me say this, ladies and gentlemen. The power is in consistency. Now, I'd rather you pray in tongues for 5 minutes every day than pray in tongues for 1 hour, one day, for a week. Did you get what I'm saying? I'd rather you pray in tongues 5 minutes every day than pray in tongues 1 hour, one day of the week. Why? There's no consistency in that. Now, I'm not saying you have to pray every day. I'm not legalistic with it. But I'm saying there needs to be some consistency. Consistency does not mean every day. It just means I'm doing it on a regular, continual basis. And if I miss a day, well, it's no big deal. If I miss 2 days, well, that's probably not a problem either. But if I start missing 3 and 4 days, well, now you become inconsistent. Now, if you've been praying every day you've been praying every day and you've been missing 1 or 2 days out of a month, missing 1 or 2 days out of a month is no big thing. But when you begin to miss more days than you pray, that's not consistency. So the consistency, the power is in the consistency. Amen. Now, why is this so important? Because the Holy Ghost, he knows the plan for your life. Mm-hmm. He has the answer to every one of your problems. His role in your life is to bring you the mind of Christ. It is his job to put you on the right path. Well, you can't do that if you don't spend time praying in those other tongues. You can't do that if you don't spend time allowing him to teach you how to enter into private worship. It is his job to bring you into this rest. And the way he accomplished that is through worship. Amen. We have, as a church, don't get me wrong, there are some choir members here. I see one here, another one, all the choirs on the front row. Okay, well, that's good. All right, what are you backsliders doing back in the back? No, I'm kidding. But when I say this, I'm not against corporate worship. What I'm against is this. The song that we sang tonight, and I'm going to give an exercise here in about 5 minutes, and I'm going to show you the reality, or actually, I don't want to say it, Lord. The weakness of corporate worship. It shouldn't be weak, but I'm going to show you the error that has occurred in the church in corporate worship. Now, when you hear a song like we just heard right now, and I mean, I didn't turn around, but I could just sense everybody going, ooh, but your head began to rock. Y'all got that chicken walk going on. You get to move and all like that. Now, you know why you do that? You know why you do that? Because the music is providing the emotions. And the words is providing or is articulating for you the words to give to your Father. Now, if we were to cut that off, in fact, I'm going to do this illustration right now. Okay? Now, if you want to pass, all you got to do is just point to the guy next to you and you got to participate. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask everybody to worship God for 5 seconds. Out of the inner sanctuary of your own heart, I just want you to say something like this. Father, I love you. I worship you. I magnify you. I glorify your name. I honor your name. And I'm going to watch the second hand. And when your 10 seconds, I'm going to say 10 seconds. When your 10 seconds is up, I'm going to point to the next guy. And what I want you to see is I want you to see the struggle in this. See, we didn't have a problem worshiping God with the music on. But when the music is off, let's go. Shambre no kulesa. Father, I give you praise. I give you glory. No, 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 no. You don't get to enter in. No, 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 no. It's individually. We all gonna hear you pray. We all gonna hear you worship God. Father, I give you praise. I glorify and I magnify your name. I worship you in spirit and in truth. I love you more than life itself. I exalt your name. I honor your name. I give you praise.
Father, I thank you for today, Father. I honor your name, Father. I lift you up, Father. Father, I just love you, Lord.
I love you, Lord, with all my heart, with all my soul, and all my mind. Father, I give you all the praise and all the glory in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, and I love you, Father.
Go.
Father, I worship you. I honor you. Lord, your name be praised. Your name be hallowed in the earth. Your name be high and lifted up. Lord God, I thank you.
Go.
Thank you, Father, for your goodness, for your mercy, for your grace. Thank you for all of your goodness in my life, Father. I just praise you and I worship you and I thank
Go.
You.
Father, Go. Go.
Thank you, Heavenly Father. I worship your holy name, Lord God. I praise you. I bless your name, God. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you for loving me. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you've done in my life.
Go.
Father, you're all powerful, almighty, all worthy, Father. We thank you for your great love towards us. We thank you for the power and the meaning that you have given us for putting your
Go.
Holy Spirit inside of us.
Go. Go. Go.
I praise your name and give you all the praise, glory, and honor. I'm giving you everything I have in this life. I thank you for keeping me here. I should have been gone, but you still carry me on. God.
Go.
Dear Heavenly Father, I just give you all praise, all glory, and all honor. I love you deeply with all of my heart.
Go. 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 Go.
Father, I give you praise. I worship you. I glorify and magnify your holy name. You are an awesome God, and you are great and great to be praised.
Go. Go, Barbara.
Thank you for all your blessings. Thank you for this day. Thank you for sending your son into the world so that we could live through him. Father, just thank you for your great love. That you love us.
Go.
Father, give you praise. We glorify you. Magnify you. Father, we love you. You're almighty, King of kings, Lord Jesus. We praise you. We thank you for everything that you've done for us.
Go.
Bless your holy name.
Go. 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 Go.
Lord, I honor you, I praise you, I worship at your feet. Lord God, you are divine majesty on high.
Yes.
Your name alone is excellent. Lord
yes.
God, you are the
Go.
Praise your holy name, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for everything you do for us and through us, Lord. We just love you. Praise your holy name.
Go. Go.
Lord, I thank you. I worship you. I adore you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yahweh. You're great. You're awesome. I love you. You're so wonderful.
Go. Go. Go.
Father, I love
Go. Go.
Heavenly Father, thank you and I bless you. Thank you, Father. You're the Alpha, you're the Omega. I thank you, the first and you're the last. Thank you, watch over me and protect me.
Go.
Be the name of the Lord.
You can pass. Go. Go. Go.
Thank you for all the blessings that you bless me.
Go. Go.
Thank you, Lord, for the blessing you gave me. I have to see another day, Lord. You can almost rub it as his food, taking care of all of making all of our problems in light of that.
Go. Go. Go.
Father God, you are holy, righteous, and just. Woo! You are my exceedingly abundant reward, and I exalt you, and I worship
Go.
You, and I thank you, in Jesus'
Go.
Name.
Go. 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 Time. Now, if you'll be honest with yourself, some of you saw how you struggled for just 10 minutes, 10 seconds. You felt the struggle. You felt like on the spot. You felt like, I haven't done this before. Well, it tells me this. So you worship God in the sanctuary when the beat's going, when the people are giving the words to the music and the excitement is there, but when it comes to you offering up out of the sanctuary of your own heart, you have the strain to get it, don't you? And see, somebody here began to sing. Some begin to pray in tongues. That's not worship. It's not worship. Now, it's okay to pray in the Spirit while you're worshiping God, but if you want to worship Him, if you want His presence, He wants to know out of your heart that you love Him. Well, don't He know, Pastor Craig, that I love Him? Yeah, and so does your children, but they want to hear you say it every now and then. Okay? Your boss knows you do a good job, but every now and then you want him or her to come by and say, that was a good job. Don't look at me with that sanctimonious, righteous face. You know you do. Okay? But my point is that this is the only thing that you can give God. It's the only thing that you can give God that He doesn't have. It's the only thing you can give God that nobody can give Him but you. Amen. Nobody. Nobody. And in my worship time, I said, God, I come to give you what nobody can give you. Nobody can give you my praise. Nobody. And He goes, yeah, I hear you. Come on with it. And I get excited about it. And she got excited back there. I said, I get excited in my prayer closet. I get excited about worshiping God. But the thing is I want you to see the difference in corporate worship and the difference in extended or private worship. Now, let me ask you a question. If you had to do that for the next 30 minutes, could you make it? Yeah, ask yourself that. Be honest with yourself. Could you make it for the next half hour? Huh? Could you make it for the next 5 minutes? Because you go for a minute and you go, that's got to have been an hour. It's got to have been an hour. I know I've been in this closet for an hour. than 1 minute. And what happens? Your flesh begins to come on you. So again, the next time when you want to worship God, what's the first thing you want to do? Spend time praying in tongues and enter into that rest. Quiet down your natural mind. It may take you 10 minutes. I can pray in tongues for 2 or 3 minutes, and I'm there. My mind is shut down. Why? I don't want to use the word develop, but I have, I have developed myself to that degree. Now, there's days when I got some problems. The other day, I meet with Orlando on Tuesday, and I had a headache that I'd pray and it'd leave and it'd come back. I'd pray again and it'd go and I'd go. And it's one of them things where, man, I don't like being sick. I just can't stand being sick. I'd rather you just shoot me and send me to heaven. I just don't like being sick, man. So I called, she called me, she texted me, she said, we meet in the desk. I go, Loranda, I'm sorry, but no, I'm getting this prayer closet here because I got to find out what's going on. Amen. Okay? But now when something like, my point is when something like that is coming against you, you may have to spend some extra time. It may have taken me 45 minutes just to get my mind quiet because in my mind I'm going, what's happening? Why can't I settle down? Where is my faith? Well, it's there. Guess what I was doing? I was operating out of my carnal mind. That's all. I'm trying to attack this thing mechanically, and I want to attack it spiritually. Well, to attack it spiritually, you attack it from the spirit. Now, I'm going to say this, and then I'll say more about this next week. In your body, you have what we call guts. You know what we mean by that? You've got liver, you got organs, you got a heart, you got a thyroid, you got a lungs, you got what else? Pancreas. You got all kind of stuff in there. We call them guts. Well, in your spirit, man, you have the same thing. But guess what they are? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Now think about this. In the natural, when you begin to eat something, there are so many doctors who, any doctors in here? When you begin to eat something, when you begin to think about eating something, your body begins to, goes into motion. It's saying, it's coming down. We about to get some grub, man. We about to go back here in a few minutes. And right now, when I say that, your body is going, yeah, let's get it on. And everything is working inside there. And you don't tell your digestive system, engage. No, when you get that food here, that thing goes, come on with it. We ready to go. And it begins to digest the food. Now, I'm making you laugh for a reason. That's the same way your spirit works. When you begin to say, I believe. When you begin to say, I love you, Lord. When you begin to say, I worship you and magnify you. Do you realize you are engaging love, joy, peace, long-suffering? Now, they all do different things. Your heart doesn't do what your pancreas does. Your lungs don't do what your liver does. They all have a different portion. Well, the guts inside your spirit, they all got different functions, but they all work together, helping each other get the job done. And if you'll learn to get into private worship, what'll happen is those emotions, those forces in your spirit will rise up and baptize your natural senses. And when they begin to baptize your natural senses, you'll begin to go, I don't care what's going on. I cannot be defeated. You know why? Because that's where the power is. That's where the victory is. That's where the power of God flows out of. And if you can learn to activate that, you'll go in the hospital room and you won't be going, God, I hope they get healed. God, I pray they get healed. No, you'll go in there and you'll go, we're going to heal this person. And those guts in your spirit will start going. They start doing their thing. And love and compassion. What did the Bible say? Jesus was moved by compassion. He was moved by love. Well, the same thing that happened to him will happen to you. And that power, because of those forces within you, will begin to come out of you. And you'll start seeing changes. You'll start seeing changes in your circumstances. and you won't stretch and strain. You won't go, I got to believe, I got to believe, I got to believe, I got to believe. No, that's not believing. Amen. Believing is, I believe, and you enter into your rest and go, I know I have. I know I trust in whom I have believed. I have it.
Amen.
That's where you're headed. If you'll engage in private worship, that's where you're headed. Amen. All right, now I've been fussing at myself. I'm going to stop on time. I'm not going to go over.